today's date is November 23rd, 2024, Sabbath day. And we're in Acts chapter 19. If you have your Bibles handy, please open them up to Acts 19 verse 6, as that's where we're going to start today. Praise the Lord, we were able to get the chat room back up and running. And still working on it. It's working fine. It's certain that other things need to be fixed. And, yeah, when I can't. It's not very important to fix them, you know. But oh, and if you're, when you're coming in and, because I, you know, had to rebuild certain things on the chat, go into the three dots on the top left, and you could turn off the sounds of people leaving or, you know, every time someone texts, it has a little ding and stuff like that. And I leave them on for just the private messages. That way you know when you're getting one. So anyway, verse 6. Now, this is directly what's happening after the people who are baptized, you know, when Paul went to go visit Cornelius and them. It says in verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues as and prophesied. And then verse 7 says, and all the men were about 12. This isn't Cornelius. This is when he's in Ephesus. Yeah, Ephesus. Okay. Sorry about that. Kind of lost track. Thank you again, dear brother Anthony. But when it says here that the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied, this is evidence of the Holy Ghost that cannot be faked as they do today. I mean, directly after I left the Catholic Church, I started to attend what I was told was a non-denominational church, when in fact I found out later on to be Pentecostal. And a lot of them do that. A lot of these churches, and that's just deception, using lies to get people to get into your church. They say non-denominational, even though they are a denomination. They're Pentecost or Pentecostal. You know, with the fake tongues thing, which I got a page on the website all about the tongues. And, you know, just go to remedygod.org/tongues.htm. But for decades, I warned people that Pentecostalism was authored by Rome because of what I saw in the church back then. They all laughed, of course, but I'm sure the laughing stopped the very day the most popular pastor of the Pentecostal movement gathered all his associate pastors in a large hall where Pope Francis appeared live on camera, you know, via like a satellite link up to accept their claim that, and they said this all in unison. Let me see if I got that video here. Yeah, it's a video I did 10 years ago. It's titled Man of Sin's Prophesied Task, - Kenneth Copeland and Pope Francis Join as One. And it's 7 minutes and 21 seconds. I'll put the link in the room. Please don't watch it now because we're in church, but I know you're not going to do that. Oh, thanks, Anthony. He put the link to the tongues page. But there's that video from YouTube where they said on camera that the protest was over. Well, obviously, they lied. I even mentioned it in the video how they mentioned the 95 Theses of Martin Luther, because that's what the protest they're talking about, the Great Reformation and the sixth-hour movement of Matthew 21-7, you know, what Martin Luther did. And they mentioned one aspect of the 95 Theses and then declared that the protest was over. But what about the other 94 points that Luther brought up? No, they didn't. They didn't bring any of that up. So, you know, it was fake. But then again, they were all fake to begin with anyway. But the thing is there were 3,000, I think the number was announced. It was like 3 or 4,000, by 3,500, something like that, of lead pastors in the Copeland Ministries, where, and you could tell it was funded by millionaires and billionaires that are anti-Christian, and of course the Vatican had no probably had no problem sending money on that too. Because, I mean, Pope Copeland, he met with the Pope even before this time, as I'm sure. But this room was filled with like 3,500 pastors, and not all of them were men. And they all declared in unison that the protest was over because they were worshiping Copeland. They just, you know, do what he says to do. And then, of course, they were all in awe when the Pope showed up on camera, and they were all smiling and happy and cheering. So, but this was planned all along. Roman Catholicism is all about using twisted truths to promote lies, you know, like sophistry, same thing. The tongues of the Pentecostal are not of God, and the Bible confirms that many times over. When I was in that Pentecostal church that claimed to be non-denominational, I saw many people speaking in what they called tongues, and none of them did it in the way the Bible said to do it. I mean, worse yet, when some claimed to be prophesying, 100% of their so-called prophecies failed, with the exception of one that they made appear fulfilled. And what I mean is, and this is probably directly after, around the time that Fran and I decided we're not going there anymore, one Sunday, I was still a Sunday keeper at the time, so one Sunday I decided to go to all three church services to hear the preacher speak, because I liked listening to him. He was well-versed, and he explained things well, but I had no idea how off the path he was, because I was green. I was a very young Christian. I had just left the Catholic Church. It took me 10 years to unlearn Catholicism. But anyway, and this is amazing how the Lord did this, because, like I said, I just, that one Sunday, decided I was going to go to all three services. I had no idea that that one man was going to stand up and do what he did. And by the way, the guy that was the preacher that I liked, he was very mesmerizing on top of it. I found out later, you know, the NLP thing, neuro-linguistic programming. Yeah. So, and I made a video about the Seventh-day Adventist Church using NLP as well. And I found a document where 200 pastors in the Seventh-day Adventist Church had agreed to take, to be taught how to use NLP, which is mesmerism, mass hypnosis, getting the people to stay in the church. That Dwight Nelson guy in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, he is a glaring example of how deadly and how easy NLP works. I made a video about him saying that Allah is God and all that during the Xmas season. And he's got the trees and the wreaths and all that stuff, and he's saying that Allah is God. And his hand movements and his the way he speaks up and then goes down, and he walks around and he points, and that's NLP. He's just hypnotizing the audience. And it works. In Ellen White's day, it was called mesmerizing. And so, yeah, I was being conned, and I didn't know it, by this Pentecostal church. And after seeing a few more things happen over the following weeks, and especially after being supposedly baptized, all this made perfect sense to me, that the Pentecostal faith was Roman Catholic in disguise. But this one Sunday that I went off to all three services, I noticed point blank how they faked their prophetic announcement. In the middle of the sermon, a man stood up at the morning service, because I was going to go to the morning, midday, and evening, right? So in the morning service, he stood up and he faked a prophetic announcement. In the middle of a sermon, the man stood up and started to speak in the gibberish they call tongues for about 30 straight seconds. The pastor preaching, you know, Rob Thompson was his name, is the preacher, and he stopped and everything and folded his hands and looked down and let the man speak, right? And acted like this is all happening in a miraculous way or something. And then the man stopped and acted as if the Holy Spirit was upon him by swaying and appearing to be drunk. You know, because they say that's drunk in the Spirit or slain in the Spirit kind of thing. And they say that's a fruit of the Spirit, but you know, to find a Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation to find that one out. And so he then supposedly translated all that he said in gibberish, but this time in English. He more or less stated that God was going to bless the pastor by giving him a television ministry wherein the entire services would be broadcast weekly, and then he sat down. well, found out later this is all pre-planned, right? Because here's the clincher, not to their trickery. As I said earlier, I went to all three services that Sunday. So when the afternoon service began, and right on time, in the midst of the sermon, the exact same man stood up and spoke in gibberish again for 30 seconds, and then he paused. And then he translated the exact same so-called prophecy, word for word, even though the gibberish was different now. He didn't use the same gobbledygook or falderal. And the pastor was acting the same way, putting his head down and folding his hands and acting like it was miraculous, right? And then when I went to the evening service, it happened again. And then a few weeks later, I discovered this, that they were on, we left by then, but then after we left a few weeks later, we found out they were on TV. And I praise the Lord, I left before they ended up on TV, because they started spanning the audience and stuff like that. I didn't want to be caught dead in that kind of a church. But the fact is, to declare that the Lord would bless him with a TV ministry, even if he only so-called prophesied once, you're not going to get that done in a few weeks. You got to set everything up. You got to have the money. You have the bank accounts. You got to have the loans. You got to have the equipment, the cameras, high-end cameras, you know, on robotic wheeling and stuff where the guy sits on them and you know, record the whole service. And so, but the Bible's clear on how this gift is to be presented. And never does it say someone purposely comes to a church to speak in tongues because no one knows when the Holy Spirit will move upon them. We must warn those that are trapped in these churches on what the Bible says on this. When a man who is yet to accept Christ as Lord walks into a church that has everyone speaking in tongues, like what we call gibberish, he always does one thing. He will leave thinking everybody there is insane. In fact, check out what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. Paul said this. Now, he says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, they will he not say that they are mad or that ye are mad? And then notice what he says in verses 6 to 20. It says, now, brethren, you know, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 6 to 20, he says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For example, like in a war, back in the old days when they used the cavalry and stuff like that, they would have a trumpet. Well, if he's out there blowing a trumpet, they're going to understand the signals that the general said. This is what you, if you hear the trumpet blast three or four times, do this. If it's only blasting once, do that, right? What if he's out there with a trombone or a drum or anything else other than a trumpet? It's how are you going to know what's being piped or harped? Verse 8 says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. Or he would consider you mad, right? And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. I mean, notice this. Paul says it this way in the prophetic sense, because we can now see today that all Pentecostals do in fact speak in what they're calling tongues for self-edification and not for their fellow man. They even insist that to be a member of their church, you must speak in tongues as well. One of the pastors in that so-called non-denominational church told me after I got baptized the next week, they said, anybody got baptized last week, come down and go into the back, and the associate pastors will lay hands on you if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, even though the Bible says you're going to get it at baptism anyway, right? So they left that part out. I didn't know any better. I was green, right? And so I go into the back. And he lays hands on me, and he starts speaking in tongues, and then he stops, and he looks at me, and he says, okay, now you speak in tongues. And I said, I don't know how to do that. He goes, just fake it. It'll come natural. Yeah, that wasn't going to work. It's just like with that Monsignor McGinnity in the Catholic Church that told me that one day when I asked him, I walked in and I says, you know, as you know, I've been studying the Bible now for a year because you gave me permission to use the Bible to teach this year. And so instead of using the CCD books, you know, Catholic Catechism Doctrine. And so I says, I got a lot of questions. Why does the Bible say this? But we're teaching this. And why does the Bible say that? And we're teaching this. He literally, that Monsignor or pastor in English, because that's Latin for Monsignor. He said, Nick, stop reading the Bible. It's confusing you. Well, it's the same thing with this guy said, fake it. You'd never know who you're talking to. You know, because I'm not trying to put myself up there. What I'm saying is we all have to be careful what you're saying, because you never know. You might be running into somebody that has studied their Bibles or has truth in them, even though they don't know where to find the Bible verses to prove you wrong. They still have the Holy Spirit within to know you're wrong. And then later on do the studies and find out, yes, you are wrong. But the guy told me to fake it. And then he says it'll become natural after that. I don't know. It's just, that was the last time. I think that was around the last time that friend and I went to that church. But Paul now shows the proper method for speaking in tongues here. Verses 13 down to 16. I'm going to read. Just thanks again, Brother Anthony. He put them all in there. It says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that you may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. And so right there, that knocks down that heavenly language. A brother in the faith many years ago, who was a friend of mine from North Carolina, had an issue here saying that, oh, he doesn't speak in tongues. He speaks in an unknown language. It's a heavenly language. And I says, bro, that's not scripture. Look at here. And I showed him verse 15 like I just read. And then I made that tongues page just for him. Well, that's like my whole website. Whenever I'm trying to help somebody, I'll share a study and then it becomes a page. Anyway, Paul goes on to say that I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. So, verse 16 says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, amen, at thy giving of, and they all do it. This guy that did that three times that one Sunday, after he said what he said, everybody goes, amen, praise the Lord. They didn't know a thing he was saying, and then all of a sudden he translates in English. It's like that little kid. There's a video on YouTube. They got this little kid. He even has a handkerchief he pulls out and he wipes his head like he's sweating, and he's not. He's emulating dad. And dad's the preacher, Pentecostal preacher. And you got this 5-year-old kid up there holding a Bible, and you know how they sometimes preach where they do this weird inflection at the end of each word like they go, how are you doing today? Yeah, like that kind of whatever. He's doing this. He's all acting like dad, and he's coming up there, and he starts speaking in tongues like dad does, and the congregation is saying amen. It's on YouTube, and they believe this kid's a prophet of God or something. It's amazing what we're seeing in these last days. But again, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? You know, in the Pentecostal church, they all say amen when someone speaks in tongues, even though 100% of them, even the one speaking, has no idea what he just said. This is how Rome works. In fact, this is how the mark is going to be enforced as well. And we saw how they tested their methods of causing people to lie so as to prevent inconvenience during the pandemic. Since it works so well in the Pentecostal churches wherein 644 million people now reside, the Pope knew the same method of deception will work to enforce his mark, and so a final test was created so as to assure it will work. And again, that test was how they built the infrastructure to enforce the mark of the beast using a theatric thing called a pandemic. Because if you look at it, you couldn't walk into a business without a mask. You couldn't keep your job without a vaccine in some cases. Also, so that infrastructure is still there. Because we're already talking about another pandemic. We all know that. Or shutting down or locking down the whole country, right? The pandemic allowed them to build, and the pandemic wasn't even a pandemic. If you look at the math for a pandemic, it can't be declared a pandemic until a certain percentage of people in one country get sick, and then it goes over the borders into another country. No country ever reached those specific numbers of a percentage of the population to be sick. It never was an epidemic to begin with, so it couldn't even be a pandemic. But it was political theater, and that had to go down so that they can figure out a way to build this infrastructure so that the mark of the beast can be enforced. All they got to do now is use the exact same infrastructure that they built. And instead of saying you got to get a vaccine or wear a mask to be able to keep your job or buy and sell, they'll just say, do you acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath? Just like when Nebuchadnezzar put up that 90-foot statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow before it. They're doing the same thing today. They're going after God's law. Because Satan's behind the whole thing. And we know this. This is, you know, Christianity 101 for the SDR people. And so, yeah, all they got to do is change the wording of their infrastructure. Instead of saying mask and vaccine, they're just going to say Mark of the Beast and Sunday. Well, they're not going to say Mark of the Beast, obviously, but they're just going to say Sunday laws. You got to acknowledge it. And so verse 17 says, for thou verily, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 17 says, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. What he's getting here is like in the previous verse, he says, how can he say amen or give thanks because he didn't understand anything you said? And then the next verse says, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. And then verse 18 says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. And no, Paul is not saying he speaks in the tongues every time he preaches. Paul actually knew many different languages. And then verse 19 says, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach also others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. In other words, don't act childish. So be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And just so you know, when Paul says be not children, he's more or less saying grow up in your understanding. And when it comes to the Pentecostals or any other denomination out there that we all know have been confused by Rome, Paul also said in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, Hebrews 5, verse 12, he said this, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And again, when Paul was saying, howbeit in malice be ye children, he is saying we all need to be as innocent children when it comes to evil things. I'll let it get to you, in other words. But I honestly believe that Paul is actually prophesying here. What he says in regards to, you know, the tongues thing, he's prophesying about the Pentecostal churches of the end days, because Satan twisted this miraculous fruit to cause many people to see Christians as being mad or insane. I don't know how many people used to make jokes about that, you know, they would call the Pentecostals, you know, like fish flopping around out of the water. You know, with that kundalini thing, they don't know it's kundalini. They just say, you know, Benny Hinn or some Pentecostal guy will slap you on the forehead and you'll collapse and you'll bounce around like a fish out of water, you know. That's a demonic possession called kundalini that jumps into the spine of humans. At least that's the scuttlebutt in the occult, right? And so the Pentecostal reads the same Bibles we do. Therefore, they know this verse exists that Paul just said. Yet everyone in their church is told that they must speak in tongues to be a member, or they're not even going to be considered a Christian. They literally force their people to fake or lie so as to have all in one accord with Satan. Look at the pandemic. Yeah, lie that, you know, you agree, you know, that you should get a vaccine or you know, whatever the case may be, you know, because the vaccine was proven a lie, and it was, there was all these scientific information about it. And like that one doctor that literally says they're not even defining a virus properly. And I found the video of her saying this while someone walked up to her in a store, and she's crouching down to get some off the bottom shelf. And she's literally sharing with the woman who asked her the question, the real methods of identifying a virus. My video didn't last, what, 1 hour on YouTube because of that? I put it on BitChute, of course, and John 14:29. But, yeah, they deleted that real quick because that doctor proved, yeah, what they're doing is bogus. If it really was a virus, why aren't everybody wearing hazmat suits? But, again, everybody just go along with the lie so as to be convenient so you can get your candy bars, you know, in your cars and your careers, keep your careers. Just go along, just be convenient. Everybody else is doing it, no big deal. So it worked. Billions of people fell for it. Not all of us, but billions did. Not everybody got the vaccine, praise God, but, you know, over a billion did. And how easy is it going to be for them to enforce the mark? Yeah, it's going to be real easy. And so, let me see, where are we at on time? Oh, I got about another 5 minutes or so. Let me go to verse 8 here. In Acts 19, verse 8 and 9 and 10. I'm going to read 8, 9, 10. It says, "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." Oh, and by the way, the tongues thing, we have it on record. I can't remember who it was. I've got it somewhere on the site where a preacher was in Africa. And he had to stand before a bunch of people that wanted to hear the message of Christ. And all the people spoke Swahili, but he only understood how to speak his own language, which was English. And they had a translator stand next to him and translate into Swahili whatever he was saying. Well, about 5-10 minutes into the sermon, someone in the congregation came up and told the translator to stop talking because the preacher was speaking better Swahili than he was. But the preacher was just speaking English. That is what happened on that balcony 2,000 years ago that the Bible calls, you know, Pentecost Sunday, when the apostles spoke in tongues. That's tongues, when you speak in the language that people understand, even though you can't speak it. So, getting back. All right, where did I go? Where was I? Yeah, okay, so he went into the synagogue and spake. Okay, I already read that verse. You know, but still, it's amazing how going into the synagogue is missed here by Sunday-keeping preachers. He's in a synagogue. They keep Sabbath. But then, you know, willful sin, willingly sinning, allows for self-administered blindness, and we truly become our own worst enemy at that point. But verse 9 says this. But when diverse or different, you know, were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And then verse 10 says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. But the diverse, of course, mean like some, like say, but when some were hardened and believed not. So same thing. But this still makes me sad when I think about it, because this is something the people of God have had to deal with for centuries now. And the only nice thing about this is that when they speak evil of the truth we know to be inspired of God, it confirms we are the obedient remnant of children of God. As for the SDAs and others making the same claim towards their message, no. Our message is backed by Scripture. And, you know, because they say they're the remnant, you know, and all this other stuff. And or they'll come in like they're doing on this video I made the other day. And they're coming up there and saying, I'm a fraud and all this other stuff. And, but they never give any proof. And I ask them, you know, I will repent and declare before the people, before God's people, you know, if I have sinned, please show me. And, of course, you get dead air after that, right? Because they just make the claims. And like the ones that are saying, Sister White never said that. And I says, well, okay. Because I didn't mention certain things in the video, but some people did mention certain things in the comments. And the guy says, well, Sister White never said that. And so I put in about 15 quotes where she did say it. And again, you get dead air after that. But I don't blame those people. I blame their pastors because they're just echoing their pastors and not reading their Bibles or Spirit of Prophecy. But our message is backed by Scripture and therefore attacked by the enemies of Christ. Their message is backed by Catholicism and therefore exposed by the obedient remnant. But to cover their shame, they're boldly going to, they will boldly claim to be attacked by us instead of being, instead of exposed by the truth we present. They always want to kill the messenger because of the message. But truth is truth, and it cannot be changed no matter how loud their lies are shouted. Fact is, every Seventh-day Adventist that is thinking about leaving the church due to its open apostasy, if they stay in the Word of God and hear the present truth that is proclaimed by the true remnant church, they will leave. I mean, it's prophesied. They will leave. The shaking's already begun. But even the Seventh-day Adventist leaders, they know this is true too. This is why they are embracing more apostasy and using NLP. They know each time they bow to Rome and its hellish dogma, more people join the SDA church because Roman Catholicism preaches you can be saved in your sins instead of from your sins. And for the fleshly Christians, well, that's attractive. You mean I can go to heaven and still get drunk as a skunk? Well, yeah, according to these people. So attractive, in fact, that soon they're going to seek to kill us for proving their false doctrines are deadly. That's how attractive it is to them. Satan knows the only way to slow the forward progress of the truth is to either persecute or kill those who present it. So, let them do it, for they did the same thing to our king. Now let me put something in here from Review and Herald. Review and Herald, September 14th, 1911, paragraph 4. Yeah, I thought it was 14. It's paragraph 4. Let's see. And I'll close with this. She says here that Paul's labors had given the heathen worship a telling blow in consequence of which there was a perceptible falling off in the attendance at the national festival and in the enthusiasm of the worshipers. In other words, the truth hit some people hard and they stopped doing the things all the other pagan worships like the goddess, the pagan gods like Diana and stuff like that. And so she goes on to say that the influence of his teachings extended far beyond the actual converts to the faith. Many who had not openly accepted the new doctrines became so far enlightened as to lose all confidence in heathen gods. Paul's presence in the city called special attention to the fact, and curses loud and deep were uttered against him. As we will soon see later in verse 23 when we get to it, possibly next week or the week after, this love of the truth Paul shares will eventually cause quite an uproar in Ephesus due to the craftsmen who make their living creating those pagan gods for the people. And the same thing's going to happen in our day. They're going to go about it two ways. You're going to have the church and the state, as well as the common man. So there's three ways. And the reason I'm saying that is because, well, especially with the church, I mean, the common man's just going to get upset that, his business is failing because he's not doing the right thing or something, in regards to obeying God or just obeying the government and letting them destroy his own business like they're doing right now with their great reset plans. But when we look at the coming days and what they're going to be trying to do against us when we go forth and try to warn the people, it's all going to... I'm sorry, I'm losing this here. Okay. It's I'm trying to find the words to put this in so I can explain it better. But when we go forth, there's going to be such an uproar because we're going to have the truth and the powers that be are going to do what they can to come against us. And this, we know, is going to come from the Seventh-day Adventist pastors as well as all the pastors. But Sister White's pretty clear about, the SDA leaders are going to come against us as well. That's why even back then she was saying some of the bad things they were doing actually made the Seventh-day Adventist name associated with leprosy. And it's disgusting what they're doing, but that's because they put more stock in their worship of money than the worship of God. Their 501c3 proves this. And so the government's already got them locked down. As a matter of fact, somebody came on and saying, praise God for the video and all this other stuff, because this is what the Seventh-day Adventist reform movement understands. And they left the church and says, whoa, wait a second here. You guys got dozens of 501c3 contracts, and you don't even understand prophecy here, and here. But I did it, of course, in a loving manner, to the best I could without upsetting them, because I want them to think what they're doing. The S-Darm, as they call it, Seventh-day Adventist reform movement, they got a bunch of 501c3 contracts here in America. So if they can understand prophecy, how do they miss that one? So they're just as bad as all the rest. But they're going to come against us as well, because the laws are going to be out there. It's just like, that's why there's a bunch of Sunday-keeping Seventh-day Adventist churches now. They know the Romans that are running the Seventh-day Adventist church know the mark is going to be enforced soon. And so the SDA church is going to have to shut down or start keeping Sunday holy, and they got to change their name because they got to remove where it says the Seventh Day Adventist to just plain Adventist. That's my next video, by the way, because they have made it pretty obvious they don't call themselves SDA anymore. They call themselves Adventists, and I could prove it. And a lot of their mainstream ministries have changed it from SDA to just plain A, just Adventist. And there's a reason for that. You can't stay in business if you're declaring the seventh-day Sabbath in the coming days when they enforce the market. So they've already got things all set up. And they have no choice because they all got a 501c3. And if you don't go along with what the government says you have to do with that 501c3, they're going to shut you down. But here's the weird way that the devil does this. He did the same thing here with the Trinity, making the Trinity look like it's about three when it's not. It's about one God that the Satanist embraces, or the Jew or the Muslim. Trinity, the original definition would be three, but no, they make it into one, but that's a whole nother truth, if you will. I didn't know that, but the Yes Dharm actually teaches Sister White as part of the 144,000. That's right, we were talking about that before. Thanks, brother. But what's coming is going to be pretty intense, but yeah, they have no choice because... And that sticky wicket that I was talking about, how they use like the Trinity thing, is where they're going to turn it around to where the churches are going to demand the governments to go forth and keep and enforce Sunday laws to stop the message we're putting forth. That's prophesy. You can't change that. And that's why I said the image is already here. We already know what's going on since 1954, the image of the beast. And so they haven't gone vocal yet, but they didn't go vocal either when Jeremiah said that our prophecy was fulfilled long before it was. And so we're not in any sin here, but those that are trying to throw a monkey wrench in the works and try to confuse the truth, yeah, they're the ones that are in sin, the fanatics. But, other than that, we're going to stand firm in that which is written, and hopefully everyone in this church family will be there when that latter rain falls, and we're going to go forth, and they're going to try to shut us up. And we're going to see all this happening, because it was already declared in the scriptures is how it's going to happen. But yeah, it's going to be what Sister White said, something to the effect that the churches are going to reach out their hand across the Gulf and join with the government to try to get us to shut up. But they're not going to say it that way. They're going to say, hey, look, the calamities are going off the chart. The only way to stop these calamities is to keep Sunday holy. Because Satan knows if they do that, while we're out there preaching how to keep the seventh day holy, it's going to be an effective way to try to get us to shut up. But of course, like Acts 5:29, we're going to say the same thing. We ought to obey God rather than men. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. And the next voice you shall hear after the music will be that of Pastor Alvin. God bless everybody.